Message will be a blessing to you. Today's message is going to be economical justice. Do you know that as this country goes through an economical decline, that God is just by putting us through an economical decline? Did you know that because this country continues to walk away from our Lord Jesus Christ, continues to laugh in his face. The Bible's very clear that not only you will not prosper economically, but you won't prosper spiritually or physically. Very interesting. A lot of people today are suffering economically, but there's a well-rooted God sees things in the dark. He brings what's in the dark to the light. And really, what America has been hiding in the dark is a lot of evil, which brings us to an economical decline. The question is God concerned with economics? Is God concerned with economics? If you think of some great professors or some economic professors or somebody like Alan Greenspan, you would think these guys are really good with the economy. Maybe somebody, he's an economist and he works for Wall Street, or he works for, you know, something in someplace in the White House. But, you know, he might have some understanding of economics, but you know, you will never have totally true understanding of economics unless you understand God's economics. If you understand God's economics of the Bible, you will never really totally have true economics. You know, throughout the Bible, God manifests a deep concern for economic justice and economic well-being among God's people. Some argues that one of God's primary role in the Bible is to be an economist. And God the economist acts in history to assure that the household of God's people is but just household, where all live and resources are necessary for life. So God is an economist. I mean, this is really what I'm trying to say. So we in America are having economical problems, but we are not relying on God, the economist. God is the economist. God's way, if we would follow God's way in handling the economy, we would not be in the situation that we're in today. But God not only is an economist, but God also cares for his people and his children. Not only does he care for his children, but he cares for the household of the children. He cares on how parents are raising their children, how they're being provided for, what kind of resources they have. Are the husbands working? Are they, you know, he cares whether they're working. He doesn't want them to be laid off. Come on, somebody. God is the divine economist, and he does care about you. He does care about your family, and he cares about the resources. And if you would turn to our Lord Jesus Christ, God would show you an economical plan that would help your situation. You know, God has laid out an economical plan in the Bible. The formative event of the Old Testament is God's liberation of slaves from Egypt. While this is a religious event resulting in a covenant of faithfulness between God and his chosen people, it is also a political and an economical event. God leads the Israelites out of an oppressive household of Pharaoh, out of slavery and into freedom, establishing a new household and a new economical system. Very interesting. God cares about the household. He cares. He takes you out of a bad economical system, and he wants to put you into a new economical system. I don't know about you, but it seems like America is falling into a bad economical system right now. And I'm here to tell you the reason why America is falling into a bad economical system is because we really have turned away from the Lord. But he wants to take you out of this bad economy, and he wants to put you into a good economy. Now, if God wants to take you out of a bad economy and put you into a good economy, there's going to have to be we're going to have to do something here. We're going to have to start following God's ways. You know, God, very interesting, God took the Israelites out of an oppressive economy, and he wanted to bring them into a new economy, an economical system of freedom. I got to tell somebody here today that God... America was once an economical system of freedom, and I'd like to think, and I'd like to believe that it still is today, but let's be honest with you. The economical system of freedom is really going back into the economical system of slavery. So we need to really pray about what kind of economy we really want. You know, God does care for the physical needs of the Israelites. And he did care for the physical needs of the Israelites, just like he cares for your physical needs right now. And he provided manna in the desert for them. And then God went and he gave them the law, which not only teaches a proper form of worship, and God said, this is the law and this is how I want to be worshiped, but it's also set out an economical and political framework for the Israelites to live by, and it was designed to assure a just distribution of resources. So not only did God set a form of worship, but he set an economical and a political framework for the Israelites to live by, and it says, this is how I want all these resources distributed. So God was setting up an economy of justice. This is how I want you to run. this is how I want you to run this new economy. Very interesting. The law of the Old Testament explicitly protects the rights of the least powerful and neediest in the household of the Israelites. Everyone was created equal, whether you were rich or poor, whether you were powerful or weak. Everybody was, and this includes poor people, the strangers, the sojourners, the widows, and the orphans. God's people are directed to tend to the needs of the most marginalized groups, and to be sure that they receive their just share of the community resources. I got to be honest with you. You know, America is the only country that gives to the poor. I really think that America has such a compassionate heart. It's the only country that gives to the needy. In Deuteronomy 10, verse 17 through 18, "For the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who does not show partiality nor take bribes." One thing about the Lord, when he was setting up the new economy, he was not taking partiality. He was not taking bribes. But you know, let's be honest with you. Who do you see at the White House? Do you see the poor at the White House? No. It seems like you only see the rich and the famous there. That's who you see at the White House. I think really our government is being partial. You know, but under God's economical systems, there's no partiality. And I would like to believe in America that we don't discriminate against religion, race, or creed. But the truth of the matter is, it seems like the rich and the famous, even in this society, gets more benefits. And we need to stop being partial. And this verse also says there is to be a regular redistribution of property and the forgiveness of past debts. I don't know about you, but God's economy is very different than today's economy. In verse 18, "He executes justice for the orphans and the widow, and shows his love for the alien by giving him food and clothing." Very, very interesting when we start talking about immigration. You know, God is he shows compassion for the alien by giving him food and clothing. Leviticus 25, verse 1 through 55, what you're going to read is you're going to read between verse 1 and 22, the sabbatical year and the year of Jubilee. This was the year of forgiving of the debts. Verse 23 through verse 24, you're going to see the law of redemption. And then you're going to see in his economical system about, God talks about the poor countryman and redeeming the poor countryman. You know, very interesting that Jesus Christ was very, in his economical plan, Jesus Christ is very, very concerned about the poor. He's very, very concerned about the distribution of resources. And not only that the poor has some. God is a God of balance. You know, you got a few people that have a whole lot of money, and then you got some that don't have any money, but God's all about redistribution of wealth. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 1 through 11, talks about the sabbatical year. At the end of every 7 years, you shall be grant a remission of debts. This is the manner of remission. Every creditor shall release what he has loaned to his neighbor. He shall not extract it from his neighbor or his brother, because the Lord's remission has been proclaimed. From the foreigner you may take it, but your hand shall release whatever of yours is with your brother. However, there will be no poor among you, since the Lord will surely bless you and the land that which the Lord your God is giving you as the inheritance to possess. If only you listen obediently to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all this commandment which I am commanding you today, for the Lord your God will bless you, as he has promised you, and you will lend to many nations, but you will not borrow, and you will rule over many nations, but they will not rule over you. Very interesting, you know, under God's economical plan, there's going to be no poor people. Under his economical strategy, there's going to be lending, but no borrowing. I really hate to say that we are in so much debt to these other countries like China. And this is not God's economical plan. So the reason why you look around and we're such in an economical crisis, the truth of the matter is we're not following God's economical plan. When are we going to start following God's economical plan? You know, it is very clear that God demands that his faithful people order both their spiritual and their material lives in a way that is pleasing to God. You know, not only that we must order our spiritual lives, but we almost order our material lives. This emphasis on economical and social justice, as well as spiritual faithfulness, recurs again throughout the prophecies of the Old Testament. Isaiah speaks of an economical prosperity and peace as an integral part of God's desire for Israel. And you got Amos, Jeremiah, and Micah denounce the political and economical injustice with Israel, as well as its spiritual practices. So, I mean, what we have Isaiah speaking of prosperity about Israel, and then we have Amos, Jeremiah, and Micah denouncing the political and economical injustice of Israel. There is a warning. When an economy starts falling, we have to really dig deep into our spiritual lives. What's going on in Congress? What's going on in the House of Representatives? What is going on with the American people? We have to decide what kind of economy we want. But this is not the only time that we see God that cares about the economy. He cares about your household. He cares about your finances. He cares about how you're raising your family. He cares whether there's food on the table. He cares about the economy. Jesus Christ cares about the economy. Jesus' ministry continues this theme. Jesus talks as much about economics in his teaching as he does about his spiritual life. Many of the gospel stories directly pose the question, what sort of economic decision should one make to be faithful to God? I mean, how should Nicodemus make a retribution of his past life? What did Jesus say? Give everything you have. What about Mary? Should Mary spend her time cooking or listening to Jesus speak? These are all economical decisions. How should the wise steward use his master's money? These are all economical decisions. What should the rich young man do with his possessions? And what role should the money changers have in the church? These are all economical decisions. And you know, these stories are both metaphors, not only for spiritual lessons, as well as direct lessons in economical decision making. So God very much, you know, the whole Bible is not only about your spiritual life, but it's all about the economy, how you redistribute resources, your household. And the truth of the matter is, when we don't follow the Lord, we will not only become spiritually bankrupt and physically bankrupt, but we will also become economically bankrupt. Wow. Jesus is very concerned about our economy. know, Jesus not only feeds the souls of his followers, but he literally feeds the bodies with loaves and fishes. Mark 6:35-44. Mark 8:1-10. Jesus emphasizes that the hungry shall be fed in God's kingdom. Luke 6:21. And feeding the hunger here on earth is the way to do God's will. Matthew 25:31-45. He castigates those who focus on material possessions as a primary aim in life. You know how many people say to focus on material possessions as a primary aim of life? Their aim is only for material possessions, and they will use the church to get it. They will use government to get it. But their aim is only for material possessions. And they do not share their wealth with others. Well, Jesus' story, contrasting the behavior of the rich with the widow who quietly gives from her meager resources to help the poor. Mark 12:41-44, Luke 21:1-4. This remains a compelling indictment of a selfish exhibited by those who have too much and give too little. I don't know about you, but it seems like God is really just in how much he wants people to redistribute wealth. We're not saying that you shouldn't save money. We're not saying that. And God wants you to work hard and to enjoy what you've worked hard for. We're not saying that at all. But you know, under God's economy, there's no poor. And I got to tell you something. With Jesus, who did Jesus identify himself with? When you talk to a lot of the churches, they like to identify themselves with famous athletes. They identify themselves with movie stars or big politicians. But you know, Jesus never identified himself with any of these. And what Jesus identified himself with was the poor. If Jesus was going to pick any social class of the economy, Jesus picked the poor. He didn't pick the rich. He didn't pick the famous. But Jesus said, I am with the poor. That means I'm going to suffer the way the poor suffered. I'm going to be abused the way the poor abused. But I am going to associate myself with the poor. Very interesting. Jesus Christ took a stand with the poor. And that's why I love Jesus so much. And you should love him too. Because Jesus never took the stance with the rich and famous. But he said, I'm going to take my stand with the poor. You know, it's very interesting. You know, not only that, but the law of Moses emphasizes the responsibilities of the Israelites to care for the widows, the orphans, the strangers, the person who would typically have no means in an economical support system. Exodus 22:22, Deuteronomy 10:18, Deuteronomy 15:7-11, throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, the readers learn that certain persons are particularly good and righteous by stories that show them giving shelter to travelers or assistance to the poor. The parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10:29-37 is probably the best known of these. In Jesus' own life, beginning in poverty and ending with death as a political prisoner, embodies God's particular concern for the poor. Through Jesus, God becomes one with the poor and lives in suffering, loves with their pain and oppression. So now God lives with the poor, and he also lives in their suffering and with their pain and their oppression. In Luke, Jesus begins his ministry with the announcement that he has been appointed to preach the good news to the poor and to proclaim captives, liberty to the captives, and to set the oppressed free in Luke 4:18. So Jesus identified himself with the poor. The identification of God with the poor is nowhere better expressed than in Jesus' words in Matthew 25 Verse 40. Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. This is very clear. God was always in his economical, in God's economy, he doesn't want the poor. God, in God's economy, he wants the resources redistributed. You know, what emerged is a clear message that God is not only concerned with our spiritual life of God's followers, but that God also cares deeply about their economical life. Individual economic decisions, as well as the economic structures of the church and the government, are subject to God's judgment and God's demand. You know, so why are we going into an economical crisis when God clearly laid out a plan? Maybe it's economical justice. Maybe this is economical justice for the way we have lived our life. Maybe it's economical justice for turning away from Jesus. Maybe it's economical justice for laughing at the face of God. You want money? Ezekiel 4. Maybe God's leading us into captivity. Maybe we need to repent. God is very concerned about the economy, and he's very concerned about those that have little. We need to keep believing and have faith in the Lord. I pray that God will continue to bless you. Thank you.
I'm gonna show you.